It's always exciting to see what the gospel is going to be to kick off the retreat. And I'm a huge dog lover, so this was really nice. Just imagine Rico there, right? Or my wonderful golden retriever, Gracie, who some of you might have known back in the day. Yes, Rosario does. I love dogs, and I could talk forever about them. How about how dogs are something of a foretaste of the new creation, heaven and earth, right? That's why I think children always wonder. One of their first questions are always, are there dogs in heaven? Because there's something really special about dogs. Anyway, let us not get distracted by golden retrievers and all of God's most precious part of his creation, which is those four-legged furry animals that we call dogs. Let us focus in on this one little line that is very easy to skip over. Jesus wanted no one to know about it. He wanted nobody to know about it. This is one of those gospels where the humanity and the divinity of Jesus shines forth in such a surprising way. We see here his need for rest. Jesus, true God and true man needs rest. We see as well that Jesus is surprised by an interruption. We see how he brings good through it all. And as I prayed with this passage, I wondered, you know, what might the Holy Spirit be saying to all of you on this first day of retreat through it? So here is, I think, at least it was the Holy Spirit inspired in me. Hopefully you will find it helpful. Let's pause on that gem of the phrase, Jesus entered a house and wanted no one to know about it. Jesus wants to get away. Wants to get away. He needs to get away. And he actually does for a little bit. To rest is very good. It's very good. Jesus reminds us that it is good to step away from the pressing needs of others. We need not work continuously. Let us stop the influence of the industrial revolution in our own life, which has turned us all into cogs in a machine, endlessly producing. No, let us learn from the Lord to go away to a place without anyone wanting to know about it, to rest, to rest. We can see in Jesus' actions an echo of the Father's providential love. On the seventh day, God rested. Let us just think about that. Holiness includes rest. Holiness includes rest. Rest is sacred. God's purpose and plan for each one of us is to follow the rhythm that he has written into creation itself. Yes, there is a time to do. Yes, there is a time to engage. Yes, there is a time to employ our gifts. And most importantly, there is a time to rest. It is good to create space for our own personal Sabbath. Because when we do, remarkable things happen. Just read the scriptures about what happens when people sleep. When Adam sleeps, Eve is created. The book of Job says that God sends dreams in the middle of the night. God sends dreams in the middle of the night. Joseph goes to bed with a real problem on his hand. And when he arises, an angel spoke to him in a dream. Remarkable things happen when we rest. God breathes new life into us. The gift of the Spirit, the gift of conversion, the gift of being reinvigorated, the gift of being in Him. This is bestowed not by our own effort, but by our receiving. Not by our own effort, by our receiving. It's what God does. And for that to happen, we have to go under. We have to learn how to let ourselves go and to let God work. And so we can imagine how happy Jesus was to get away. Maybe all of these thoughts are in the back of his mind. He's looking forward to a bit of peaceful quiet away from all of the problems and the worries and the noise and the drama and the bickering of the disciples and so forth. Maybe a nice glass of wine with a small and intimate group with no one to bother or no worry in the world. That's what I need. Then, with all these good desires, Jesus' desires, and with a specific order from our Lord and Savior, incarnate God, that he not be bothered. Talk about, you know, we just had our directives before, our indications, right? Before our retreat started, clear as a bell. Written down exactly what this retreat center wants. It's what Jesus said. I don't want to be bothered. Didn't go as planned for Jesus. I'm reminded of the saying, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Except for this time, the joke is actually on God. Suddenly, an unknown stranger from another part of the world who speaks Greek, a Syrophoenician woman, breaking all etiquette and social norms, rudely, boldly, obnoxiously, walks right into the house without knocking, interrupting this restful evening, right as Jesus is about to take a sip of that choice wine brought up from the wine cellar. At that precise moment, his evening was disrupted. You can almost feel through the dialogue in the passage how Jesus felt about it. It's one of those places where his humanity comes out. Yes, Jesus could be a little bit, you know, like all of us. This is the equivalent of Jesus honking the horn, so to speak, when somebody emerges in front of him. Perhaps we could make a big leap and liken this moment to all of the expectations we might have for our retreat. We were probably hoping for a time of peaceful renewal, of being reinvigorated by God's grace, of inspiring reflection, and yes, physical rest away from all of the cares and the worries and the burdens of life. And I truly hope it is, and I am confident that this is God's plan for you. But like the scriptures, I also know that it's good to be realistic. There are always surprises. Our gospel reminds us that antagonists can enter stage left at any moment without being invited into the play. You never know what they are. Sometimes it's catching a cold. Sometimes it's the mattress. Sometimes it's the plumbing at the retreat center that doesn't work. Once in the last retreat at Mount Kisco, I saw people running off into the woods. And I wondered, wow, I wonder if there's some new deer out there. No. I came back into the room and there was a pile of notes there in the little thing for the priest. I was like, oh, my reflection must be remarkable. They all have lots of questions. I started opening it up. It said, toilet on second floor does not work. Toilet on third floor does not work. No toilet anywhere works. There is always some kind of distraction. Perhaps the preacher is off, you know? Sometimes it's intrusive thoughts, those intrusive thoughts that come up in the silence, seemingly only in silence, thankfully. On and on, down the line I could go, arriving even at the point of a missile dropping on your pilgrimage. You just never know. You never know. Now, there are two ways that we can handle these unwelcome surprises. Two ways. First, we can throw our hands into the air in frustration and say, why is this happening to me? Woe is me, my one weekend to get away on retreat, and it has turned into some kind of disaster. Or we can pause and ponder. Oh, this is not happening to me. It is happening for me. For me. There's something great hidden here. Some mysterious, yes, mysterious, mysterious way that God is at work. A message hidden in the imperfection of the moment. This is how God likes to work. When I get to heaven, I will look Jesus in the eye and I will say, why, Lord? Why is it through the imperfections that you choose to remarkably work the most? But let's never forget, all things work out for those who love the Lord. This is one of the reasons why I wholeheartedly believe that there is no such thing as a bad retreat, even if none of the toilets work. I know this. Jesus wants to give each one of you much more than the scraps that have fallen underneath the table. But I also know that the way the gift arrives to each one of us looks different than how we are expecting it to arrive. Remarkably different. Regardless, God's grace is always and everywhere at work. And you have all shown up at the table as Jesus's invited guest to drink a glass of wine with him, hopefully uninterrupted. This means your work is done. Your work is done. Jesus will do the rest, even if it arrives in a seemingly imperfect way. Amen.